One problem is that patent filing has become a mass production business. The patent office gets about 450,000 new applications every year. And I think a related problem is there's no way for the patent office ever to finally reject an application. A determined applicant can always come back and try again. And these things have led to a growing pile of applications that the examiners just can't get to.
And this is this because they just don't give up? They change a patent in one little way, and therefore they can secure a new patent? Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah, right. There's a process called the continuation application, which essentially allows an unlimited number of do-overs for the applicants. So that an applicant who didn't get what they wanted can always come back and try again.
And so you're saying that this needs to be stopped, that there needs to be some way the law is changed to ensure that once people are rejected from a patent that may have a similar variation someplace else, they stay rejected? Is that the idea?
That's right. I think that would be a significant step towards fixing some of the problems at the patent office.
And so is this something that the current Patent Reform Act that's being debated by Congress incorporates, or is it something that you think should be incorporated?
Well, it's not something that's currently been incorporated in the Patent Reform Bill. The Patent Office actually proposed a set of rules to accomplish this a couple of years back. Those rules have been tied up in litigation. The Federal Circuit just issued an opinion within the last couple of weeks that might clear the way for at least some limitations on continuation applications and give the Patent Office more power to deal with their backlog.
So talk a little bit about the lawsuits that take place after a patent is rejected. I mean, there's obviously a lot of money involved in this, but is it duplication of effort in terms of what products are put out on the market, or what's the problem in terms of, you know, allowing a patent to go forward with some little minor variation?
Well, I think the problem is that if you want to conduct business, you've got to worry about the large number of patents out there. And if we grant a patent, we clothe it with a strong presumption of validity, which means that there are all sorts of circumstances in which companies who make products get tied up in court because someone who owns a patent says that product infringes their patent, even if that patent is a weak patent, probably shouldn't have issued, they can often get to a jury and sometimes win a substantial verdict.
And so let's just put it this way, is it fair to the original patent holder to have variations on a theme sort of nibbling away at their original patent? Is that also an issue?
Absolutely. We have some people call patent thickets. If I want to navigate the patent landscape and clear all the rights I need to get, I sometimes find an overlapping, entangled set of rights. I think it's certainly the case that we want to encourage not just initial innovation, we want to encourage real improvements. So you ought to be able to get a patent if you've actually improved on someone else's work. But we've got a doctrine called obviousness that's designed to say, you can't get a patent if all you did is something that's a trivial variation on what someone's already done before.
And that's just not being enforced.
Well, I think that's right. It's a difficult doctrine to enforce, and the Patent Office is under pretty serious time constraints because of this crush of applications. And it's often all too easy to sneak a bad patent through the office.
We're talking this morning to Mark Lemley. He is William A. Newcomb Professor of Law at Stanford Law School, Director of the Stanford Program in Law, Science, and Technology, and a partner at the law firm Dury Tangri. And so if you were to ask someone in the Patent and Trademark Office, those that are, you know, staring down the barrel of 95, you know, 100 or more applications that are still unopened, if you will, or, you know, any of the patent process been gone through, what do you think they would say about this? I mean, do you think that those patent and trademark officers are willing to take a look at this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the problem is not the behavior or the experience of the patent examiners. I think they're doing the best job that they can under a very difficult set of circumstances. The problem is that they don't have the time and resources they need to examine all of the applications thoroughly, and the rules that we've set up, the way we compensate examiners, and just the fact that there are always more applications coming in through the door tends to push it towards an assembly line type of operation.
Well, they do get their funds through the application fees that are sent forward with these 450,000 applications that they get every year. So is that going to hurt the agency? In a sense, you know, they're going to see a downturn just because of the drop in the economy is probably going to impact the inventor's ability to send forward a patent. So are we actually impacting them by setting on these restrictions?
I think that's a potential risk. One of the things we've seen in the economic downturn this year is that patent filings are down, and as a result, the fee revenue coming into the agency is down. The other potential risk is something that's gone on for a number of years. Congress has had a tendency to take away some of that fee revenue and use it towards the general federal revenue, and I think that's probably going to be an attractive alternative for Congress as well again this year because of the substantial budget deficit.
So when you have a budget deficit and you have a revenue operation, the likelihood is that the 2009 Patent Reform Act may not in fact want to remove patents from the stream.
Well, I think that's a risk. And there are the Patent Reform Act that passed the Senate Judiciary Committee last week doesn't include a provision that prevents this fee diversion, but there are substantial lobbying efforts aimed at trying to make sure that the Patent Office gets to keep all the revenue that are generated by patent fees, and that might show up in the House version of the bill.
All right. So then finally, in terms of a change of process, if they were to adopt what you are suggesting, which is just a reform of the patent law so that it's more difficult to get a similar patent through, how would the application process change? Would there be a change in the way that things are presented?
Well, I think the basic process remains the same, and the goal is to make it a little bit harder to get a weak or a minor invention through the Patent Office. To do that, you might need to change a bit the way the internal process of the Patent Office is structured, and perhaps the way in which we compensate examiners or treat applications to try to give examiners more time to spend on the most important applications and make it easier to reject the ones that aren't as important.
And then also stop companies from looking around for judges who might be sympathetic to their cause.
Well, I think that's also true.
Well, that's a harder thing to do. Well, we thank you for joining us this morning and appreciate the update on the Patent Reform Act. And I want to correct myself. I said 9,500 patents are waiting. Oh, no, 1 million applications are waiting, 700,000 of them just sitting in a stack, according to recent statistics. So that's quite a backlog for the Patent Office.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Okay.
All right. And I'll just back cue you. Mark A. Lemley, William H. Newcomb Professor of Law, Stanford Law School, Director of Stanford Program in Law, Science, and Technology, and a partner at Dury Tangri Law Firm. Thanks so much for being here. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. And we will let you know when this airs.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Bye now.